Let's give God another hand praise. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Church of the Oranges, where would we be without the Lamb? There's not enough veggie burger in the universe to save a single soul. And the only time Jesus cooked in the New Testament, he didn't even go vegan on us. He Lord help us. But worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The pastor said it earlier. I know it was the blood. Save me. I can't speak for you, but I grew up in the hood. I used to get my macaroni and cheese from the government. That government cheese. But beloved, God is an equal opportunity distributor of gifts. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus, why would you let one family have everybody able to sing? Lord, why are you going to do that? These children singing like this. I don't want to get upset in church, but praise the Lord. Boy, I'm not hating on you. I'm not hating. Praise the Lord. The Chittum family and the Winans. Help us, Jesus. Let us pray. We worship you, for you are worthy. Now take this vessel of clay and use me, O God, for your glory. May I decrease that Jesus will increase, that the Lamb will be seen and embraced. In the name that is above every name, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, even Jesus our Savior, we pray this prayer. Amen and amen. I want you to turn to a neighbor and say to him or her, live for God's will. I want you to turn to another neighbor and say, live for God's will. Many of you know my story. When my mother was pregnant with me, she was attending a Seventh-day Adventist tent meeting, W.L. Cheatham. We used to call him Old Man Cheatham. He was old even then. Lived to be almost 100. His wife lived to be 105. And when my mother entered the watery grave of baptism, she asked the Holy Ghost to place a special anointing on her unborn child. Be careful what you pray for. I came out preaching. I would gather my three older siblings together and force them to play church. Other kids were playing jacks and hopscotch and that kind of thing, but I would make my siblings, and they were older than I, but I would make them play church. I had a one-word sermon entitled Dirt. And I had about 25 different ways I could say that. Dirt, 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 dirt. And they had to say amen. Had to say praise the Lord. Had to say hallelujah. I felt more at home, pastor started, I felt more at home in church than I did in my own home. I would hide in the church so that when the janitor locked up, I could, and this is the kid, 7, 8 years of age, when the janitor locked up, I was in my father's house. I would kneel down in the pews and pray through the night, hidden in the church. I knew that the call of God was on my life. Others talked about wanting to be a fireman. What do you want to be, little boy? I want to be a policeman. What do you want to be, little boy? You know, but it was always preacher. But like Jonah, I decided to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, because every minister I knew was Poe. I did not say poor. He was Poe. He couldn't afford the extra O and the R. He was Poe. And I did not want to be a poor preacher. Ran. At Oakwood University, I changed my major in my freshman year 5 times. In my freshman year. I'm not talking about sophomore and junior. Pre-med, pre-law, psychology, history. One of the reasons why I have so many master's degrees is because I had so many courses that I could use. I was all over the map. And then in my junior year, we had an English teacher there that I had a little crush on. Pray for the chaplain. I was young. I was trying to impress her, memorizing all kinds of stuff. Didn't care about the other classes, but I cared about her class. And I ran into a British poet by the name of Francis Thompson, and God spoke to me through him, because Francis Thompson was running from God. And Thompson painted the words, "I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. And under running laughter, up vistaed hopes I sped, and shot precipitated, and down titanic glooms of chasmic fear, from those strong feet that followed after me. But with unhurrying chase and unperturbing pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, beat the feet, until a voice beat more instant than the feet, all things betray thee who betrays me." And as I kept on reading Thompson, I got down to the end, and the Holy Ghost encountered me as Thompson's protagonist cried out, "Naked I wait thy lamb's uplifted stroke. My harness, piece by piece, thou hast hewn it from me and smitten me to my knees. I am defenseless utterly." Because God has a way of breaking through our barriers. God has a way of storming the bastions of our arrogance. God has a way of laying siege to the haughty thoughts of our hearts until we see and hear. I think I'm going to preach a little while. Can I preach a little while today, Pastor? I know this is a dignified church, but I feel something pushing me this morning. Praise God. I said to the Holy Spirit, "I'll be a poor preacher." I was one of the most reluctant people called to the pastorate in the history of, "I'll be a poor preacher." And Pastor, I felt something in my spirit say, "Who said anything about poor?" Because when you're in the will of God, I've discovered Ephesians 3:20, he's able to do immeasurably, abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine when you're in his will. God is not going to let the devil subsidize his folk more than God subsidized. Oh, Pastor, I've lived long enough to discover he can open doors that nobody can shut. God can give you favor that even though you are being interviewed for the Senate and there are 99 other ministers being interviewed, God will give you favor. Oh, don't shut up. Folk, more qualified, it doesn't matter. When you're in the will of God, oh, my brothers and my sisters, he can do more than you can ask or imagine. But we, if the truth be told, too often we pray, oh, my Father, not thy will. Come on now. But let my will be done. Lord, have mercy. I saw a young lady on campus, 11th grade. You know, I was in bad shape, folks. I was in bad shape. I saw her and cried out, "Ah, thou art fairer than the evening air, clad in the beauty of a thousand stars." Okay. I knew Marlowe even in the 11th grade, okay? Went back to my dormitory room, fell on my knees. My mother had always told me, before you ask God for anything, butter him up a little bit, you know? So I said, "God, you made the trees. You powerful. I prayed the pastor's prayer. You got the whole world in your hands, God." You know, trying to butter him up. But then I cut to the chase. "Okay, Lord, now, this is, I saw a girl today, Lord. And if you will make her feel for me what I feel for her, I'll never ask you for another thing for as long as I live." Don't we pray crazy prayers sometimes? Aren't you glad God doesn't always say yes to our prayers? Lord have mercy. I saw that young lady 20 years later. I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." I was in church. I visited. It was in the church that I was preaching. Folk thought I was praising the Lord. Tears of joy were flowing down my face. You better be in God's will, because God knows what people are going to look like 15, 20 years from now. Praise the Lord. But we pray, "Not thy will, but let my will be done." We don't want to live for God's will, first of all, because we are, 51st Psalm, verse 5, born in sin and shaping in iniquity. We come here in bad shape. I was skillful at lying and never had a single lesson. Never had a single lesson. Okay. Never read a book about lying, but I knew when mama caught you doing something, you looked her in the eyes. I knew that intuitive. Look your mother, call her mother. "What are you talking about?" Get that incredulous intonation. "How could you say that about your son, mama?" I knew how to lie. Never had a single lesson. Praise God, okay? We're born that way. That's why if you only have one child, that child has a horrible chime because you already know who did it. There's no, you know, you don't have to, see, when you got siblings, you go, maybe Beverly did it, maybe Kitty did it, maybe Gloria did it, particularly if you got a big family. Praise God. We're born in sin. Plato described the human will as a charioteer with two headstrong horses, each pulling in the opposite direction. The poet said there's a little bit of bad in the best of us and a little bit of good in the worst of us, so it behooves the best of us not to talk about the rest of us. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7 said, "I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." The pastor mentioned that I have a doctorate in philosophy. The philosopher Marvin Gaye said, "I've been really trying." That's right. We got some other doctorates out here. And the philosopher Marvin Gaye said, "I've been really trying to hold back this feeling for so long. Help me, Holy Ghost. But if you feel like I feel," or somebody knows what I'm talking about, don't get that sanctified look on your face. Let's get it on. Oh, Lord Jesus. We have flammable areas inside of us. And as the hymn says, it only takes a spark. Lord, have mercy to set a fire going. So we're praying, not thy will, but my will be done. The second reason why we don't want to live for God's will is because, truth be told, we have an enemy. Oh, I hope you realize that. I hope these young people, these beautiful singing young folk, I hope they realize that the enemy wants to use your gifts and the enemy wants to use your talent. He sees you got it going on. God has anointed you. Praise God. And he wants to use your gift. He wants you to be like the Jackson 5. Singing the lyrics, said, you know, but God has a plan. We've got a predatory enemy. I got a new book. The Lord dropped it in my spirit. 6 months before the election, I started fasting and praying. And my prayer was, let thy will be done. I told God, you're smarter than I am. I quote scripture when I pray. I said, Lord, you said in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts and my ways higher than your ways. Let me tell you something. If I had been God, I would not have given a genocidal ruler named Pharaoh the privilege of rearing the liberator that I would use to lead Israel from Egypt to Canaan. I wouldn't have done that. But God's ways are not our ways. If I had been God, I wouldn't have called crazy Nebuchadnezzar my servant Nebuchadnezzar. I wouldn't have given great, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, the man, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it is right now. Nebuchadnezzar was crazy. Okay? In fact, if you look in the theological dictionary under the word crazy, you will see a picture of Nebuchadnezzar. He was crazy. Yes, and yet God used him. God used Cyrus and called Cyrus my anointed one, a pagan king, diverting the waters of the Euphrates in Daniel chapter 5 and taking over Babylon when Belshazzar was weighed in the balances and found wanting. And Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, the heart of the king is in God's hand and he turns it whichever way he desires. Brother Frank drove me in from my wonderful hotel. Thank you, sister, that you're taking good care of me, Church of the Oranges. Praise the Lord for you. And Brother Frank was we were talking about the things going on in the world. And I said, you know, Brother Frank, I told God, I said, look, if you need my help with President Trump, I'm available. And I said, Brother Frank, God said to me, Barry, I got this. I think I can handle this. I spoke a world into existence. I appreciate your offer, but I've got this. I hate to tell you, but my God is sovereign. You may have forgotten, Church of the Oranges, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth, for he spake and it was done. My God, what kind of God is that can speak and it happened? He commands and it stands fast. Thank you, Barry, for your offer. But I got this. After the election, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, I got a plan. Just keep on. And I come to the Senate after the election, and 5 senators approach me. Now, when 5 senators are coming at you, and you from the hood, you get a little scared. We call it, we don't say scared. You don't get scared. You get scared when 5 senators coming at you. And they said, Admiral, we would like you to deliver the keynote address at the National Prayer Breakfast. God said, I told you I didn't need your help. I can move pieces whenever. And who would have thought that the guy who fasted and prayed one meal a day, Pastor, for 6 months, who would have thought that he would begin a sermon by saying, President Trump, Vice President Pence, heads of state, members of Congress, speakers of Parliament, visiting clergy, my father's children. Who would have thought? But God's way are not our way. He dropped a book in my spirit, Pastor. Nothing to Fear. Brought a few copies with me. Nothing to Fear. Pastor, it was like taking dictation. Took me 13 days to write it. Who writes a book in 13 days? Tyndale published it. Okay? I brought a few copies. It's so hot I couldn't bring too many because I didn't want to start a fire. Lord have mercy. Well, we need to realize we got a predatory enemy. I've stopped by to tell you Ephesians 6:12. You are not wrestling against flesh and blood. You stand a better chance against Muhammad Ali in his prime than against the enemy that you are at. He's trying to destroy us, Church of the Oranges. And if you haven't read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, you need to read that book because it lets you know some of the strategies of the enemy. Let me tell you how powerful the devil is. When Jesus encountered the demoniac from Gadara, remember that? The devil tried to intimidate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus said, "What is your name? Because I like to know the name of the person I'm spanking. What is your name?" Praise God. And the devil thought he could do it. "We are legion. We are many." Legion 6,000. Anyway, that's right. He said legions, plural. Yeah. All right. And Jesus said, "I don't care what your name is. Come out." Jesus said, "What is that about come out that you don't understand?" See, you know, when you got that kind of power, you see what happened. Jesus said in Luke 10 to his disciples, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And Pastor, I discovered when you put a serious whipping on somebody, they never forget your name. They remember your name. On their deathbed, they remember your name. That is why demons tremble every time you say Jesus. That's why I like to say Jesus early in the message, so that the demons who come, you know, they come to church, particularly on the seventh day Sabbath. I like them to get a little nervous. Hey, what did he just say? It is the most polarizing name in the universe. We got an enemy, and that's why we don't want to live for God's will. But I'm so glad that 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, my scripture lesson, teaches us how to live for God and not for ourselves. I love this. "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." Okay. This is the beginning of Lent for so many people. 40 days until our Lord comes out of that tomb. Ash Wednesday was on Wednesday. "Arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Many of us have not suffered in the flesh. That's why we can't quit sinning. Okay? Now, somebody knows what I'm talking about, okay? "That he no longer should live," this is critical, "that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men." That's how many of us live our lives. "But," hallelujah, "to the will of God." Thank you, listen to me. We're living our lives for evil desire. We don't have power against the evil desire. And God says you don't overcome evil with willpower. You don't do that. You overcome evil by trying to be in the will of God. Is this where you want me, Lord? If every time you were tempted, you asked yourself the question, is this the will of God for my life? Let me tell you something. You would have clarity like you wouldn't believe. Oh, well, you know, obviously, you know, "Hey, why don't you come and go to me with to the club?" Is this the will of God for my life? You think? That's what our passion has to be. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." When we, come on, this is autobiographical here. "When we walked in lasciviousness Get that sanctified look off your face like you don't know what I'm talking about. Lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. Been there. Got the t-shirt. Coming in here, happy Sabbath, everybody. Let me tell you, I wrote From the Hood to the Hill, but it's not a tell-all autobiography. You can't handle the truth. I got some stuff in my life I'm taking to the grave. I got some stuff in my wife I can't even tell my wife. Okay? Some of you got skeletons in the closet, but others of you got bodies on life support in the closet. Lord have mercy. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Verse 5. Who shall give account to him, Lord, help us, that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Now let's unpack this paragraph quickly. If you're going to live for God's will, go back to verse 1. If you're going to live for God's will, make Jesus your example in undeserved suffering. Jesus is your example. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. I got a call from one of my regular attendees at my Bible study. We have a Bible study on Friday, 150 to 200 people come to the Bible study. It's a beautiful thing. Been going on for almost 14 years now. And this guy called me up there, Chaplain Black. He said, the worst thing in the world has just happened to me. Now, you don't want to call, Pastor Stoddard will tell you, you don't want to call a preacher when he's been in the Word and in the study and working on a sermon. Yeah, but the worst thing that I said, wait a minute, just before you tell me the worst thing that has ever happened to you, let me ask you a few questions. Number one, has anybody driven nails through your hands recently? He said, well, no. Now, I said, has anybody placed a crown of thorns, jammed it on your head until the herbal spikes were driven beneath the skin and along the shell of your cranium? He said, this is not a good time to be talking to you, is it? God, Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. And you got to say, what's the temperature like before you decide whether or not you're going to come to the early service? Lord have mercy. You know, who's singing today? Who's preaching today? Well, I don't know. Let me get a little breakfast in me. Let me get a little ackee in me, and then I see if I look. Come on. I'll tell you, I'm coming down your neighborhood. Lord have mercy. Then I can decide whether or not I can get out to the church out there. Oh, yeah. The devil is a liar. Make Jesus, hallelujah, make Jesus your example in undeserved suffering. And Pastor, if the truth be told, I got to say it, I got a long way to go to be like my Lord. I got a long way to go, Church of the Oranges, to be like him. I don't recall a thorny crown pressing on my brow as far back as I can think of. I haven't been spat upon, ridiculed, wounded in my side. Life's no bed of roses, but still, I can't deny I've got a long way to go. Yes. To be like my Redeemer and friend, my champion, who makes me, in spite of my wretchedness, more than a conqueror. Oh, bless his holy name. Then the second thing God told me to tell you is focus on God's will. Get verse 2 back up there, the next one. Focus on God's will. Look at this. That he or she no longer should live the rest of his or her time in the flesh. Only thing the devil has is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You stop living the rest of your life in the time of the lust of the flesh. How's my 401k doing? My God. Read in a book, the average person lives in his or her dream home 9 months. And you up there wondering, how is my 401k doing? People dropping all around us, almost like a sniper taking folk out. Stop living the rest of your time in the flesh to the lust of people, but to the will of God. Oh, beloved, this is liberating. Pastor, this has liberated my life. It has liberated how I deal with temptation. All I ask is this the will of God for me? It doesn't even have to be wrong. Is this the will of God for me? Oh, bless the name of Jesus. And so that's got to be the focus. In the Our Father, our blessed Lord could have given us any petition. And by the way, you need to, I'm writing a book now. Tyndale's got me writing a book based upon the topic of my prayer breakfast speech, Make Your Voice Heard in Heaven. And I've got a chapter on praying the Jesus way. Because we say the Our Father, we got to learn how to pray the Our Father. And I unpack how to do that. But he could have given us any theme, any thematic focus, any petition. He said, pray thy kingdom come. Make me an instrument to bring morality and sanity into a sick world. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You got to focus on God's will. I've got a champion. He left the chants of cherubims and the songs of seraphims. He left unpolluted breezes and undarkened days. I've got a champion. He left the Father's presence and a rainbow-encircled throne in a land where night never comes to make a breakthrough at Bethlehem. I've got a champion who was committed to doing God's will. He said to his parents at 12, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? In John 2, Mary said, now we had plenty of wine before you brought those 11 guys that you hang with. And the way they're guzzling, we run out of wine. He said, my hour has not yet come. He was so in the Father's will. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no one can work. He was in the Father's will. And when he met a much married woman at the well at Sychar Samaria, and the disciples got back from the food line and said, Master, we knew you were hungry. We've got the veggie burger that you ordered, the morning star sausages that you ordered. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who has sent me and to finish his work. But that journey in the will of God. You see, we talk about wanting to live for God's will, and many times we quote Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. I know the plan that I have for you, plan to prosper you, to give you a future, to give you a hope. But remember that Jeremiah 29 11 was spoken to people who were in exile. Are you willing to deal with God's will when it'll put you in exile? Are you willing to be in the will of God when it's God's plan for you to be a divorcee who uses the comfort he has given you to minister to other divorcees? Are you willing to be in the will of God when it means being single? Are you willing to play the role he has assigned you to play? Are you willing to be in the will of God when it means being beaten on trumped up charges like Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 in the jail at Philippi? Being in the will of God does not mean a magic carpet ride, but it is the safest place on the planet for you to be. Oh, bless his holy name. And then my Savior in the upper room, no slave, doulos, there to wash their dirty feet, open shoes, sandals, and the cake all mud, and none of the disciples would wash it, but Jesus knew it was the will of God for him to wash the feet of his disciples. But then in Gethsemane, beloved, he looked into the cup. And remember, our Lord could see prophetically. He said to Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Jesus looks into the cup and sees the beating he will receive from Pilate. He looks into the cup and sees himself bleeding. Look, the beating that Pilate gave Jesus very often sent the victim into raving lunacy. Didn't have to crucify him. He's gone mad, babbling, foaming at the mouth. Jesus looked into the cup and saw all of his disciples forsaking him and fleeing. Peter cursing and swearing, Judas taking the 30 pieces of silver, and he said, Abba, Daddy, you've got to be kidding me. Father, I know that all things are possible for you. But if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to die like this. I don't want to go out like this. Abba, you can do this. He's going through a process called diapedesis, where the pores contract with such ferocity that instead of perspiring water, you perspire blood. In the garden. But God said, it's impossible. If the mission is to be accomplished, if Barry Black, who grew up in Freddie Gray's neighborhood in Baltimore, Maryland, stands a ghost of a chance, you got to die. And you got to die an ignominious death. My Lord got up, saw, awakened his sleeping disciples, and submitted to the Father's will. Now, I got one more thing that I want to say to you. Prepare for the coming judgment. Verse 5. Give me verse 5, because this is critical. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? My brothers and sisters, Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto people once to die, and after that, the what? The judgment. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But because of Jesus, I told you, my autobiography was not a tell-all. You couldn't handle it. You'd be going to Pastor Stott and said, I've read the book. Don't let that man in your pulpit ever again. You understand what I'm saying, Pastor Stott? We'll be calling Elder Fordham on you if you let that man, because I read the book. God, praise God. They're going to come. It's now time for Barry Clayton Black's record in the judgment. We're all going to stand before the judgment. God the Father opens the book and says, ah, I see. You were born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Yes, very good, Barry. Okay. John the Baptist baptized you. Praise. Oh, wonderful. Okay. Wow, you did a lot of good. Fed 5,000 with loaves and fish. Raised Lazarus. Oh, this is one. Oh, wow. And died a substitutionary death. Barry Black, well done. Good and faithful servant. Beloved, that's why we sing, look upon Jesus. Sinless is he. Father, impute his life unto me. My life of scarlet. Pastor, my sin and woe covered with his life. Whiter than snow. So all I got to say to him is, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. Make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord. have thine own way. Hold on my being. Absolute sway, filled with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ. Only Jesus Christ, my liberator, my King of kings, my Lord of lords, Christ only, always living in me. So I want you to stand on your feet. Give God a hand praise. Give God a hand praise. Yeah, yeah. We need to live for God's will, making Jesus our example in undeserved suffering. So you had a bad day. Look to Jesus, focusing on his will, beloved. Are you in the will of God? And then preparing for the coming judgment, not by becoming a vegan, but by being covered with the life of our champion who makes us more than conquerors. The dying thief never had a Bible study. He probably had a ham sandwich that morning. But praise God, covered with his life, whiter than snow. I want to make an appeal. I want to appeal to two groups. Well, actually three. First group is some man or woman who has not made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Most important decision you will ever make is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I did it when I was 10 years of age. It changed the trajectory of my life. You've never told Jesus that you believe what he did on Calvary paid your sin debt in full. You need to do that. That's what we do to accept him. Second group I want to appeal to is some man or woman who may have made a commitment to Jesus Christ long ago, but you've backslidden. You've done some things that have brought outward reproach upon the name of Christ. You've been a prodigal in a pig pen. You need to come back and be cleaned up and covered with the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He will cover your wretchedness with his life. You want to say, I'm coming back home. I got a call on Thursday. A lady in a convalescent home had left God's Sabbath keeping church 30 years ago. She said she saw me on C-SPAN preaching at the National Prayer Breakfast, and she said the Holy Spirit said things are winding up. Anytime you got a Seventh-day Adventist pastor preaching to the president, it's time for you to get back. And she came back, 80 years old, came back to the church. Some of you need to come back home. And then the final group I want to appeal to is a man or woman who may already be a Christian, but the light of God's Sabbath truth has come to you, and you know you ought to walk in that light. You know what day is the seventh day. You know that there's no scriptural support for the change of the sanctity of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And you want to say, I'm going to walk in that light. I want you, as we sing this appeal song, Have Thine Own Way, to step out, come down this aisle, give me your hand, give God your heart. If you're in one of those groups needing to accept Jesus, needing to return from a backslidden past, or needing to walk in the additional light of God's Sabbath truth, won't you come? Thou art the potter, I am the clay, praise God. Mold me and make me after thy will. Won't you come? While I am waiting, yielded and still, oh, have thine own way. This is the best time to make your decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hold on my being. Hold on my being. That's right. Absolutely. Filled with thy spirit. Filled with thy spirit. Till all shall see. Oh, Christ, only always living in me. Oh, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary. Wounded and weary. Help me, I pray. Power of power. Power of power. Surely is thine. As in thy presence. Humbly I. And now I'm barely above a whisper. That first stanza again. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you, Lord, that we are in the circle of your will. Thank you for hearts that say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Our heads are still bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's someone here who wants to say, Pastor, I've got to be honest with you. My life has consisted of saying, not thy will, but let my will be done. But I make a commitment today, strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, to flip that and begin to say, not my will, O God, but let thy will be done. Yes, come on, come on, come on. Praise God. Come on. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. You willing to do that? Just lift your hand. Not my will, but thy will be done. Praise God. Just lift your hand. That's the commitment that you're making going forth. Oh God, we see this beautiful display of uplifted hands seal. In the name of Jesus, seal their commitment. They can't do it without you. But may they, throughout their day, with every encounter they face, with every test they face, ask, is this God's will for my life? And have a clarity and a wisdom that they would not otherwise have. I lift my hand, making that commitment, that recommitment again. Oh, my Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Give God praise and glory in this place.